Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you will be listening to Phil Mills, pastor of Lansing Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Phil.
I'm thankful that though we live in a world that has got all kinds of challenges in it, we have a God who is still in control. Amen? And it's coming soon. We've been meditating through the book of John, and we're going to continue today in John chapter 4. But before we begin, would you bow your heads with me for prayer? Father in heaven, as we bow before your throne, in a few moments we're going to be studying your word. We need Jesus today. We need Him to speak to us, to guide us, to direct us. We need the Holy Spirit to come and fill this sanctuary and move on our hearts and change us, that we might be reflectors of His grace. Father, for the person who is discouraged today, I pray that you will encourage. For the one that comes in with gratitude on their heart, may you lift them even higher. May all of us leave with a word on our lips and a love in our hearts because we've been in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 4. And we're going to begin in verse 1. John chapter 4. And verse 1. When you're there, if you let the preacher know by saying amen. I hear those pages turning. I'll give you a few moments to finish turning there. John chapter 4 and verse 1. And we're just going to meditate through this chapter and think on what it is that the Lord has as lessons for us to learn together as we meditate on His Word. I have found it incredibly enriching in my own time to be meditating through this chapter. And I'd encourage you, we're going to be doing this for at least a few more weeks. So if you want to be meditating and thinking on what we're going to study in the sermon time, you can, in your own devotional time, be going through the book of John, because that's where we're going. What do you say? At least for the next few chapters. Are you there? John chapter 4 and verse 1, notice what the Word of God says. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and, what does it say, church? Baptized what? More disciples than John. Though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples. He left Judea and what? What did he do? He departed where? Unto Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. It's an interesting introduction to the story that we're going to be studying on together. Jesus hears rumors that the Pharisees are creating a difference between him and John the Baptist. And what is it that they're making a difference? That Jesus is baptizing more than John the Baptist. Now I have a question. Who was John the Baptist a follower of? He's a follower of Jesus. He's a follower of God the Father. He's a follower of Jesus. People that John the Baptist baptized, was there any competition between those in whom Jesus baptized? Yes or no? No. And what is Satan trying to do in this moment? He's trying to create division. What are the Pharisees trying to do? He's trying to create division by taking people who are on the same team, going the same direction, and tries to encourage them that they're actually at war with each other. Because as long as Jesus and John the Baptist's disciples are arguing over who's more successful, guess what will not be happening? They won't be uniting against the forces of darkness. Have you noticed that sometimes Satan tries to get you focused on the wrong thing at the wrong time. He tries to get you to think that the people that are part of your family are actually the ones who are against you. He tries to cause you to think that the rumor's going around. And what he does is he gets this thing called gossip to begin to move within the circles of the friendships and in the church. You know what gossip is? I heard someone describe it quite well. She said, gossip is cannibalism of someone who's still alive. Another writer said, talking about gossip, that it's someone taking and they're enjoying the delicacy of the still, I hope this isn't too graphic, still quivering flesh of the individual they're dissecting. And you know how gossip works. All of us have been on the receiving end of gossip. And how did you feel when it was happening? That is not good. In fact, it's made if you're like, oh, if they only understood the rest of what was going on, there may be a little bit of truth in there, but there's so much more to the dynamics. And you get all worked out about it, and you get worried about it, and you try to solve the problem. And then you begin to tell people about the person who's gossiping about you. Because you know a part of the story, and you got to defend your reputation. And so what do? Out of defense of trying to protect ourselves, we begin to talk negatively about the people around us. Well, I know, yes, he may have said that, but have you heard what was going on? And we word it in such a way, all of us have curiosity. What do they say? Curiosity killed the who? And if you think about it, curiosity is why we have the mess of sin in this world today. Because Eve was curious about the fruit. And she looks at the tree, and then Satan, through the serpent, begins to ask her questions, and she starts conversing, and before long, she's eaten of the fruit. And not long later, her son is murdered by her other son because she was curious. Now, I'm standing up here as probably one of the most curious people you've met. Lord help me, right? It's very hard. I hate the unknown. Those of you who know me in this church know that it is very hard for me to have something I don't know about. If I hear that there might be something, guess what naturally I want to do? I want to go and find out all I can about what's going on. Oh, wait, can you take it? And some of you have heard me do this, and I'm apologizing because, church, I shouldn't have done this. It takes two to gossip. It takes the talker, and it takes the listener. If all you're doing is talking and no one's listening, well, it's not really gossip. You shouldn't be talking. So don't use that as an excuse. But Jesus' ministry was in crisis because if the gossip carried on and had an impact in the community, it would hamper his movement. And the two groups of people that were on the same team, moving the same direction, would have division come in and brokenness come in, and it would destroy the work of God. So what does Jesus do? Jesus did what? Did he argue with them? Did he try to correct the record? What did Jesus do? He did what? He left. Why? Because, church, I am not the defender of my reputation. God is. There are whole websites that some of you may have frequented. I know the Lord has been convicting me on mine, that their whole existence is gossip about what's going on in institutions and what's going on within the government or what's going on within church structure or church leadership. Church have nothing to do with gossip. Even if it's in a public forum and you feel like a third-party bystander just reading about it. Because I can tell you that oftentimes there is much more to the story than what's there. A man just got a $40+ million judgment against him. I'm not going to say his name because I don't want to promote his agenda. If you know about it, you know about it. Because he gossiped falsely about a situation and has now admitted publicly that it was wrong and that he was wrong in what he was saying and that it wasn't true. And yet he caused families to be put into having to fear of their lives because of death threats. They had to hire security guards to protect them because he was indulging in gossip, and millions of people were listening to it because it tickled their fancies. Church, we should have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. I want you to go with me to the book of Psalms, and I want you to notice what Psalms says about this. Psalm, the 15th division. Are you there? All right, give you some time. Say mercy if you need it. Psalm 15, right there in the middle of your Bible. The Psalm of David, he begins with a question. Are you there, church? Notice what it says. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? Show of hands, how many of you want to go to heaven? Praise God. I hope every hand goes up. Amen? Amen. Who is going to be there? He who walks what? Uprightly. Who works what? Righteousness and speaks truth where? In his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he, read it aloud with me in your Bibles, take up a reproach against who? His friend, in whose eyes an evil person is despised, but he honors those who fears the Lord. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. He does not put out his money at usury. Now, in other words, he doesn't take interest when he loans, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent, nor he who does these things shall never be what? Do you want to dwell in the heavens someday? Then church, verse 3 needs to become very seriously meditated on in our lives. He who does not backbite with his tongue, what does that mean? He doesn't gossip about his friends. He does not evil to his friends, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. I want to talk about a reproach for a moment. Suppose that I wrong one of you in this church. I never do, but let's say I do. And that wrong person is hurt because of the wrong I did to them. And you as an outsider hear about the wrong. And you take up a reproach and you begin to spread around what's happened. You take up a reproach for a friend. What does Jesus say we're supposed to do if a wrong has happened? If you hear about the wrong, don't spread it. Tell that person to go talk to the person that wronged them. Matthew 18, go and look at it with me if you would. Matthew chapter 18. Church, I've been reading through a number of sections that have been deeply convicting to me about my role and what I have done wrong in listening and passing on things. In one of the sections I was reading in the testimonies, Ellen White says that if we were to remove gossip, the divisions in our church would cease. What are the two things we're focusing on, congregation, this year? Conversion and... So guess what we best hit in our prayer time that the Lord will change us in? Gossip. Matthew 18, are you there? Notice verse 15. You've heard this. Let's read it, though. The words of Christ, if your Bible has them in red, these will be in red. This is what Jesus says to you and I. Moreover, if your brother sins against you. So who's the person wronged here? The brother or you? You're the one that's wrong. Now, a lot of times when we look at it, they wronged me. They need to come and make it right with me. But what does Jesus say? If they've wronged you, who is to initiate making it right? You. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him, what, church? Alone. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. Step one. If someone is telling you about a challenge they're having with someone in the church, refuse to hear it. Instead, say, brother or sister, let me pray with you. Go and talk with them. Have you gone and talked with them? Have you sat down with them? Have you tried to reach out to them? Have you tried to make it right? Now, church, we have many ways. Let me rephrase that. I have found many ways to sanctimoniously gossip about other people. Oh, I need to talk to you. I don't know what to do about this person. Can you give me some advice? Church, where I've done that, I've been wrong. What does Jesus say? Go and speak to him what? Alone. Verse 16, but if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more. In other words, if it doesn't work with you, go and get some friends of that person and go together, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be what, church? Establish. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he even refuses to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Now, let's be clear on that. Heathen and tax collectors, in Jesus' mind, were they to be saved? Yes or no? So if it becomes as a heathen and a tax collector, it doesn't mean we go, well, we did our part. Good luck. It means that now we're approaching it and realizing this person is so far from Jesus that we need to now do all we can to win them back into a walk with Jesus Christ. Church, this is foundational to our walk and our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I want to share with you something I read this last week that was extremely encouraging and convicting. If you have the testimonies, you can look this up on your own time. This is Testimonies, Volume 5, page 615. It's in the section called Treatment of the Erring. I would encourage you to write it down and read this on your own time, or if you have your digital devices, you can follow along. Testimonies to the Church, Volume 5, page 615. If a brother is supposed to have erred, his brethren and sisters should not whisper it among themselves and comment upon it, magnifying those supposed errors and faults. What does she say? We're not to do what? Whisper and talk about it. Because when we do that, guess what we're doing? The thing that Jesus wants to forgive and make it as far as the east is from the west, we're magnifying it and we're making it bigger. What is Jesus in the business of doing? Forgiving and cleansing from sin. When we gossip, we're doing the exact opposite. Much of this work is done, she carries on, and the result is that the displeasure of God rests upon those who do it, and Satan exalts that he can weaken and annoy those who might be strong in the Lord. The Lord sees their weakness and judges this class, and the truth they profess to love by the fruits manifested in them. And then she quotes Psalms 15. Here, the backbiter is excluded from abiding in the tabernacle of God and dwelling in the holy hill of Zion. He that taketh up a reproach against his neighbor cannot receive the approval of God. Church, we need Jesus. What do you say? We need the healing power of Christ to teach us how to be like him. I think of Matthew chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, turn there if you would, and then we'll head back to John and our final points as we close. Matthew chapter 6. And I want you to read with me the Lord's Prayer, verse 9. Start in verse 9. Let's read it together. In this manner, therefore pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Keep reading. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Next verse. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Back right there. Keep that up if you would. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. Church, this hit me like a ton of bricks some years ago. The grace of Jesus must teach us how to forgive. Hebrews chapter 12, last verse on this. Hebrews chapter 12. The apostle Hebrews brings this out. And then we'll pull these thoughts together. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14 and 15. The apostle Paul picks up this theme that David talks about, that Christ talks about, and the apostle Paul carries it forward. Notice this, verse 14. Are you there, church? Hebrews 12, verse 14. Pursue peace with how many people? All people. And holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Church, I want to be in heaven. How about you? Which means that like Jesus did, I must be. Did Jesus ever pick a quarrel with someone? Was Jesus wrong? Yes or no? Yes, he was crucified. He was rejected. Every step of his way was dogged by people who wanted to destroy him. But nowhere in the Gospels do you see the Son of God taking up an offense or responding in anger to the mistreatment that was given to him as a person. You see him saying, "Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more." You see him loving those who hated and despised him. He pursued peace with all people. Verse 15, carrying on, looking careful, lest anyone shall fall short of the grace of God, lest any what? Root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. If you hold on to unforgiveness against a family member, against a co-worker, against a church member, against a church leader, it will destroy you. That's the word of God. If I hold on to it, it will destroy me. But if we let it go, and you say, "Pastor, how do I let it go? It is so deeply ingrained inside of me." First, read the passages of Scripture that talk about forgiveness. Isaiah 53 is a powerful one. There in Matthew, what we just read there in Matthew chapter 6 is another powerful section. Treatment of the erring from Testimonies Volume 5, starting on 6:15, is a powerful section. It'll give you encouragement and strength, but I will tell you the greatest way to have forgiveness is to go to your knees, church, and ask for Jesus to put that forgiving spirit in your heart. And when you do, He will. And He will teach you how to forgive. He will teach you how to love the unlovable. We are told that those of us who live at the end of time will need to learn how to take warmth from people's coldness and love from their hatred. And church, I don't know how to do that, but Jesus will teach me and I want to be there. How about you? When the world hates us, we'll love them anyway. Be like Christ. Well, I clearly had a lot more in John that we were going to get to, but I see the time and the Lord took over. I want to read just one last thought here and then we will come to our appeal. Talking to ministers, and I'm sharing this with an apology and encouragement for you to hold me accountable. Had the minister refused to listen to the colored, one-sided statements of anyone in the church, had he given words of advice in accordance with the Bible rule and said, like Nehemiah, "I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down," the church would have been in a far better condition than it is now. Ministers and lay members of the church displease God when they allow individuals to tell them the errors and faults of their brethren. They should not listen to these reports, but should inquire, have you strictly followed the injunction of your Savior? Have you gone to the offender and told him his faults between you and him alone? And has he refused to hear you? Have you carefully and prayerfully taken two or three others and labored with him in tenderness, humility, and meekness, your heart throbbing with love for his soul? If the captain orders and the rules given for the area have been strictly followed, then an advanced step is to be taken. Tell the church and let actions be taken in the case according to scriptures. If these steps had been taken to close the ear to complaint and thus refuse to take up a reproach against any of your neighbors, if there were no brethren and sisters to do this, evil tongues would soon cease and they would find no favor in a field in which to work in biting and devouring one another. I want to live like that. How about you? To be like Jesus. To be the one I was created to be. Jesus left the area that he was working, going back to John chapter 4. Take your Bibles and turn there as we come to our concluding thought. Jesus left the area he was working because the Pharisees and others, well, actually, no, Pharisees were being told by others through the whispering campaign of gossip that one was baptizing more than the other, and he realized that this division within the church, within the two camps, would hinder and destroy the work of God, so he had to go somewhere else. May the Lord protect us from the same. Church, how many of you want to say with me, Lord, first, there's two parts to this appeal. Forgive me for where I have gossiped and spoken ill of someone else. You want to say that with me? Lord, forgive us for that. And then secondly, how many of you would like to raise your hands and say, Lord, help me to never partake in gossiping again? Praise God. Praise God. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, we as a church are striving for unity and conversion, to be like Jesus, to be the ones you created us to be. You saw our hands. Father, you know where we have partaken in the evil spirit of gossip. When we have sowed division between members of the church by speaking in ways or coloring comments in ways that would change the way a brother thinks about another. You've seen us try to defend our reputations and try to defend our rights to be treated in certain ways and to have people talk about us in certain ways. And Father, we confess we have been wrong. Forgive us. And teach us as a church how to be like Jesus. Remove this evil spirit from our midst. And thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you that as we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Father, we ask that you will cleanse our hearts and that you will purify us through and through. That you will teach us how to be men and women who do not gossip but only speak well of all men and women. That this church and this community will be known as a safe place where the love of Jesus and the process of Jesus is followed. It is in His name we pray and ask all of this. Amen.
You
You have been listening to Phil Mills, pastor of Lansing Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the church at 5400 West St. Joe Highway in Lansing, Michigan, and their church service begins at 11:15 a.m. Access their website at lansingadventist.org. This program has been a Strong Tower Radio production.